This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 9 of the 1973 podcast. I'm your host, AC, and I'm here with the best tag team in the podcasting business, my buddy Ed and my buddy Tom. I knew we were going to roll.
Oh, my God.
Let's get rolling. Let's go on, fellas.
What's going on? Let's make it happen.
Yeah, let's get this party started so we can get some talk happening, some round table. Let's get this going with Ed. I'm going to start off with you like always. You're going to read this week's email, and what we got?
Hey, man, this is coming from Chris Silver from Fairhaven. First off, great job with the podcast. Appreciate the weekly watch of your different viewpoints you guys have to offer. Chris, really, thank you, man. Really appreciate the kind words. We really do appreciate that. On to his email. So being an absolute fan of the Boston Bruins and the greatest sport on earth, I disagree with him on that part, on that second part. At this point of the season of, you know, taking over the best NHL record in history, and with the team camaraderie I've watched all year on Behind the Beat, anything less than the Stanley Cup coming back to Boston would be a huge letdown for me. My son needs to experience a parade. What do you guys say? Thomas?
We're going to start with Tom, King of Thomas. Bruins Nation.
He's the king of Bruins Nation. Got to throw it to him first, man.
The ultimate homer.
Yeah. That's the king.
The ultimate honk, you know?
That's the king.
The man with the megaphone.
Strong Bruins fan since 2011.
As the king of Bruins Nation. I will say that I want to see them get to the cup. I just think the East is so tough this year that I think just getting to the cup itself will be good for me. Now, I know, speaking to other members of Bruins Nation, they want the cup. So I am a little more grounded, I guess you'd say. And I'm a little more worried right now with Bergeron. Possibly.
That's right, Tom, because you've never been known to be a Mr. Energy. So, you know.
I'm a little worried with Bergeron. He didn't practice today, and he left the game against Montreal early. They're calling it precautionary, and now they're saying it's an illness and an injury. But they said that he'd still be able to play Monday. But to me, I'm a little worried about that.
I'll start before we throw it back to Ed. Chris is a big fan of the show. Coached with him. His son's involved with youth hockey. With my kids, great guy, big Bruins fan. We just have a good banter with him about his Bruins when I see him. Big fan of the show, like I said, since day one. So glad to read an email from Chris. So my take on it is we'll look at it from a hockey perspective. I mean, you know, is there anything less than a Stanley Cup? I mean, when you get a best record, you know, like that, you know, how can you not expect to win everything? I mean, there's an obnoxious side of fans that think that they already won the cup. I mean, they don't understand that it's a grind, and there's a difference between playing one team for, let's just say, once out of the schedule and then seeing them for a seven game series. And then, you know, as much as the league's changed, it's tough to play a team that likes to grind for a series. So a lot of factors come in, injuries, who's injured, who can play with injuries. A lot of things factor in. Goaltending going into the playoffs, like New Jersey used to be mediocre all year, and then they would hit the All-Star break, and all of a sudden they'd start rolling, and they'd roll all the way deep into the playoffs. That was their MO. They never ran away with a season or won a President's Trophy like that, like the Bruins did. It's just, and you know that the President's Trophy curse is always a thing too. So, I mean, is it there's a lot that they're lucky that they drew Florida. Out of all the teams to draw first, I think they would have had more problems with the Islanders if they had drawn in Carolina. My pick got the Islanders, so that's something always to look out for. So, Ed, what do you think before we jump into the matchups? We'll stay with the Bruins matchup and go first, but go ahead, Ed. What do you think about the?
I mean, first and foremost, I think incredible job to actually, you know, get that many points in a year. I mean, that's truly fabulous. I mean, to get guys to play at that level for that long and to just really, I mean, just the times that I've watched them this year, I mean, they just really played together as a unit, which, you know, I think that that's amazing. Moving on to the next point about it is just that, man, it's really, I mean, 7-game series, it's tough. It's a grind, taking your point, Andy. You know, it's a big difference when you play that same team night after night after night. You know, and the thing about it is just that, okay, who's gonna get to the point where, man, they don't want to get hit anymore, you know? And I think that that's kind of like that, that's that grind, that playoff hockey, you know, when the beards come out, you know, and, you know, it's just, you know, every inch of ice that's out there, you know, needs to be, it's not given, you have to take it. So, yeah, I like to see, you know, I mean, basically, if they win against Florida, that sets them up to hit against my pick, Tampa. You know, so, I mean, it's kind of one of those things. I mean, I would like to see it, you know, a little bit older now, a little bit, you know, a little bit more tame. So, you know, they're my hometown, you know, so like kind of want to win, you know, kind of, I guess, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing. All right. Well, flipping it to you guys about the playoffs, I'll let you guys choose who goes next. But that's my
Ed, before we move on, let everybody know where they can email everybody and hit us up with questions before we move to the next part.
Yeah. Just hit us up at our email. And definitely, we do read them out and we do check them out. So please send us emails, comments. We appreciate everybody's support and that type of thing. So it's down at the bottom of the YouTube thing, right, Andy?
Yep, it's down in the description of every episode that we post. Check it out.
There you go.
Send them along, and we'll get the best of the best on. And if you don't get on this week, we'll get it on eventually. So keep sending them in, and we'll move along to the Bruins-Panthers matchup. Tom, what do you got?
I'm going with B's and five. I think they just have too many layers for Florida to get through. I think they're going to shut down Kachuk's line. And after that, I don't really see, I mean, I think Kachuk and Carter, I can't even think of his name, Vanderhaeg.
Yep.
Is that his name? Those are the only two guys that I'm really worried about on the team. Now, the one thing that does scare me a little bit is the size of Florida's defense. Just if it goes to a long series, I think they could kind of wear down the Bees a little bit with their physicality, because that's one thing the Bees aren't this year, is they're not as physical as they usually are or used to be. So, but I think the Bruins have the edge in basically every category. I think I will give Florida one game, but I think the Bees have this. I think this will be the easiest round for the Bees right here.
My take on it, I agree with you, 5 games. I think that they drew a very good match for them for the first round. I mean, it's almost a softball. Like I said, the Islanders would have been a little bit tougher. I'm with you in five. I don't see that being that much of a challenge for them, given the pedigree of the season that they had. Now, what happens when they get by, we'll get to that too. Ed, what do you got for Bruins in Florida? And
I'm going to say, man, Bruins are going to sweep it, man.
Oh, Bruins in Florida.
Bruins in four, man. That's what I think. I mean, I think that, you know, man, they just, you know, they're just a really skilled team, you know, and they can skate. You know, they're not the big bad Bruins of old, Thomas. You know, it's not dump and chase, that boring hockey of like, yep, here we go with the blue line. Let's dump that puck in.
Yeah.
I mean, they actually move the puck now, you know, and like they skate and they pass it. It's enjoyable to watch. So I think that, you know, talent wise, I think that they're the best team out on the ice. You know,
okay. Cool. Yeah, sounds like we're all on the same page with the Bees, pretty much. I mean, I'd like to see somebody pick Florida and hear the argument on that, but I don't think it's too relevant.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
So we're gonna move on to Islanders Carolina. So here's my take on this one. So you got the Islanders a little hot going into the season, snag that one of those wild card spots. You gotta watch out for the goaltending in this one. Now here's one instance where They're going to have to get very, very dirty to win this series. They're going to have to play, grind it out. Sorokin's going to have to win some games for them. They're just going to have to be that kind of team. Just going to be fun to watch. I think it's going to be one of those series where it's not going to, every game's not going to be settled after three periods. I'm still going to take Carolina, but I'm going Carolina in six on this just because of the way that Sorokin could play. Do I think that they have the horses to get by Carolina? I don't think so. Tom, what do you think?
I'm actually going with the upset. I'm going with the Islanders in seven.
Oh, wow.
But the I don't think Carolina. I think it's going to be a low scoring series, and I think the Canes are going to be hurt not having Svechnikov and Pacioretty for this for the playoffs. I think that's two big losses for them. They weren't. I mean, those are two decent sized losses. Svechnikov was kind of coming into his own the last year and a half, 2 years. I mean, Pacioretty's not the same player he was with Montreal, but he's still a playoff player. And I just think Sorokin, I think, is the key. I think he's going to win the series for them.
Ed, what do you got?
I'm going to go with Carolina in seven. I think it's going to be an ugly series. Andy, I think I agree with you. I think one night is going to be like one team. It's going to be one of those, like, you know, 2-1 games like back in the day. Then I think that there could be one of those games where just Carolina just gets out and they jump on them, and it's like a 7-0 type of a thing.
Yeah.
You know, I really haven't seen a lot of Islanders play. I haven't really seen a lot of the Carolina play. What I have seen of the Islanders play is they're a very physical team, especially back on D. So I think that, you know, I mean, I think Carolina's going to do it, man. That's just my take.
All right. Good take. I mean, pretty much it's going to be tight. We all three of us agree to that. And that's all the games should be pretty much available to watch. I mean, there's going to be hockey on every night now. So no matter where you live, especially you, Ed, you'll be able to catch it somewhere.
Absolutely.
So you'll be able to at least watch one game or probably a early and a late game, depending on, you know, what they're showing. So we're going to keep it on the East, and we're going to go Rangers Devils. The battle of the old Patrick division. The thing that's cool about this is if you're a fan and you live in that area, you could, and you had the means to do it, you could go back and forth with that trip, you know, back and forth to watch almost every game. I don't want to hear fatigue on these guys because that trip is short. I mean, these guys can pretty much go home and fall out.
Stay at home.
It's like a home stand for both teams. They don't have to travel that much.
No.
It's a short bus ride. So I'm going to go only because of the roster that the Devils have is very young. I'm going to go with the Rangers in the series just because of the veteran leadership on this team. Patrick Kane's got the 3 Stanley Cups. Is he Jonathan Toews? No, when it comes to leadership, but you never know. It could be a thing. But out of those two teams, I'm going to go Rangers in six, and just to be conservative with the pick, but it'll be a fun series to watch. What do you got, Tom?
I'm going with Rangers in six, but it wouldn't surprise me if it goes seven, but I just think the Rangers, as a goalie, I'm thinking Shesterkin's the better of the two goalies by far in the series, and I think he's going to carry them. Not carry them because they have a good team offensively, but I think he's going to be the difference in the series. I think there'll be a couple games that you could see like a 5-4 game. I mean, a couple games will be high scoring, but I think overall, I think he will be the key of the series. But I will say the Devils have some good young guys in the next few years. If they can add a couple smaller pieces, they're going to be a tough team.
And who you got?
I'm going to go with Rangers in seven.
Okay.
I just think it's going to be one of those Subway series. I think it's just going to be really kind of up in your face right from the get-go. I just think it's going to just really bring that rivalry back. And I hope it does.
You know what? I'm hoping that this year has some epic playoffs just because the NHL viewership is down so much. You would not believe it. And everybody knows why it's down. But the NHL themselves can't figure it out. And the reason is because you got, it's like we've talked about, it's watered down. You got guys that don't deserve to be in the league, and you got guys that are character guys that could be in there enforcing stuff and entertaining the crowd and keeping people, you know, buying tickets and watching games on TV, you know, without a job. So that's my two cents on that. We'll move on to probably the series that I want to watch the most. Tampa Bay and the Leafs. One of these teams is going home in the first round, which is a sin because of the way that the structure of the playoffs is set up. It's a total garbage. Is it the Leafs year, or does the Tampa Bay train keep rolling? I'm going to go with this pick. I'm going with the Lightning only because the Leafs have to prove it to me that they can get to the next level. There is no, I'm actually going to go 7 in this one. I'm calling it right down the middle on this one. Bill Alfonso style, right down the middle. I'm going Tampa Bay because of the experience, and the Leafs just because of the history. Until they prove that they can beat somebody epic in the playoffs, I can't still take them serious. So prove me wrong, but I'm going with the gut feeling. I'm going Tampa in 7. What do you got, Tom?
I'm going with the Leafs in 7. I just think I'm going against myself. I've been going with the better goalie in both series, and don't ask me why. There's no rhyme or reason. It's just a gut feeling that the Leafs will pull this one out. But I just think the Leafs, if they get down in this series 2-1, I think they could lose in 6, because I think there's so much pressure on them up in Canada or up in Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
I think that it's just the pressure keeps building more and more on them. And I just don't see them. They haven't, like you say, prove that you can handle the pressure. Having said all that, I'm going with the Leafs.
that's why we watch the games, dude. That's why we watch them. There's that heart of hearts. That's why you get drawn into the story, and I just watch it and just hope that it's entertaining enough to keep your interest. Ed, who you got?
I'm going with Tampa because it's my pick, man.
Yeah.
So I just think.
I just bet my balls and shook on it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I just think that, you know, Tampa with the experience and just really they know how to play playoff hockey. I think I would like to see him close it out quick in 5. I'm going to go with that. But the hockey logic says it's going to go 7. Well, so I'm just going to stick with 5 for now. But
okay. Yeah. And all these dynasty teams that the NHL's produced, Canadians in the 70s, Edmonton, the Oilers, Edmonton Oilers, and Islanders in the early 80s. Until somebody comes along and proves you wrong, you got to go with the experience. I mean, it's the coaching too. Oh, yeah.
He's just a great coach. I just like him, man. He's just a good coach, you know, and he just knows how to motivate his guys. Can't go wrong with that. So that's my take, man.
All right. So we're going to move out west now. We're going to check out some matchups in the west. I was a little taken aback by some of these matchups. Just looking at them, it kind of like gave me kind of like a kind of taste in my mouth when I was like, that's the matchup. That's what you're getting out of the West. So we're going to go with the Minnesota Wild and the Stars. The only story I can kind of produce out of this is you've got the Minnesota North Stars who moved to Dallas, and now the new team that is back where the Stars used to be. There was a little bit of friction like in one of the last games that they played. I don't know if it was a little, you know, playoff preview hype, but to me, this is kind of like, one of those kind of wet farts. It doesn't really move me. Am I staying up late on a, you know, Tuesday night to watch this game? I don't know. I'm going to go maybe Dallas in 6 maybe on this one. So I don't have any horses in it. I don't really have a big interest in watching this matchup. I don't know. What do you think, Tom?
I'm taking Dallas in 7, but I'm with you. I don't really have any interest in the series. I think it's going to be a boring series, but I think that Jake Oettinger, I think, will be the difference, and they win in 7.
Okay. What do you got, Ed?
I'm gonna go with the Stars in six, man. I watched them the other night. They just look like they can play. I haven't watched hardly much of Minnesota just because they don't get on TV very much. So I mean, it's kind of like one of those things. I mean, just to kind of circle back to what you were talking about. Look, if you have a team that's going to be making the playoffs, get them on national TV. You know, because the thing is like it sets up that good story. You know, and I just think that, you know, the NHL just really does not do a good job in telling the story of their people. You know, it's okay. It's okay if the guys want to give like these, you know, kind of like, you know, canned interviews, which is fine. I mean, that's what hockey players do, you know, and that's cool. But I'm just saying is that there's a tremendous opportunity where, you know, Dallas being such a huge TV market. I mean, like you can from a production side and from a brand building standpoint, dude, there's so much that's there.
I agree. And I say this to the WCW Portuguese Phantom all the time. I'm like, dude, if Vince McMahon owned the NHL, I mean, it would be epic for at least the marketing side of it. They need somebody to market that. I mean, it fell out of the fourth most watched sport for the first time in its history. It's fifth now, and soccer moved above it in the U.S., and that's to tell you how bad the state of hockey is for viewership. It's bad. You're not making the stars that people want to see. Yeah, right, they know right. Who McDavid is and Crosby and these, but they don't buy it. They're not a Gretzky and a Mario, and there's no character guys anymore for people to fall in love with. The guys you always fall in love with is your third and fourth line guys, and there's nobody there for you. But anyway, so we're gonna move on to another matchup that it's like I just saw Vegas play, and I was kind of impressed when I watched them play. And they're playing the Jets. And I'm like, Jets? Really? So I don't have anything other than a little bit of pedigree for watching Vegas live. That I was impressed the way they played live. Do I think they could make it back to another Stanley Cup? I don't know. But in this series, I'm going Vegas in five. This is going to be just another series where I'll watch it, maybe I won't. I mean, maybe I'll, you know, I'm more invested in the East than I am the West, but I'll say the Knights in five. Tom, what do you got?
I'm going with Vegas in six. I think Vegas is just too deep. They've got too many lines that they can roll out, and they're just going to wear down Winnipeg. The only question mark Vegas I think has is goaltending, and I mean,
quick.
I just don't think. In this series that they have to worry about it. I don't think they're going to need stellar goaltending. I just think they're going to need okay goaltending to win this series.
Yeah.
And I think Vegas in six.
And they have Phil Kessel, so that's always a plus.
That's true.
Eating hot dogs, baby.
Yeah. Ed, who you got?
I'm going to go with Vegas, man. You know, I think it's just – I've only watched – again, you know, it's that West Coast bias, even though being in Central Time Zone. I don't get all those games out West. And if they do come on, it's a lot late for this old dude, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, I just think, I mean, doesn't Vegas have like 107 points or something like that? I mean, they're kind of a good team, you know? I mean, to get that many points, they're a good team. So
for a team that hasn't been in the league that long, they've sure have made a really good push in, you know, the fans that are out there, you know, they're all in when they're there. I mean, it's a pretty good crowd. It's a smaller arena compared to some of the other ones, but really cool the way they do the presentation out there. So speaking of expansion teams, we're going Avs Kraken for this matchup. The Seattle Kraken are in the playoffs already. They're already in the playoffs, and they're playing the Avalanche. I'm going Avalanche in five. I think it could be a sweep, but I'm going to go just with the pedigree that team has and the history that Seattle doesn't have. I'm just going to go Avs in five. What do you got, Tom?
I'm going with Colorado with a sweep. I don't – even with – Landeskog's out for the playoffs, they don't need him in this series. I think they're going to run right through him. And they're the best – storyline of this series, I guess, is their old goaltender with Seattle.
Yeah.
Was a Grubauer. I mean,
yeah.
I just don't think – this series is probably the one I have probably the least amount of interest in, to be honest with you.
Ed, who you got? Yeah, you got to have Colorado. That was one of your picks,
Colorado,
right?
Colorado in four, man. Just look, I mean, because they're my pick to go to the Cup, man. I mean, it's my pick is Av versus Lightning. You know, round. You know, the sequel. I just think that, and like, just when you watch Colorado play, dude, they're just fast and they move the puck and they're always moving. And it's like, and when I feel like that the other team like puts on a chase, they skate faster. And they just wear other teams down because of their speed and skill. And I mean, like you can't defend speed with skill. I mean, you can defend speed, but you can't defend speed with skill. It's just, it's impossible. So I'm going to Avs in four, man.
So one last matchup in the West, we got the Kings and the heavily touted Edmonton Oilers. I watched the Kings play when they played Vegas, and I was not impressed at all. And when I saw this matchup, I'm like, if that Kings team plays Edmonton the way they played the Knights the day that I saw them, they're going to get rolled in four. I'm going Edmonton in four. It's my only sweep pick in the first round. I'm just going the pedigree of Edmonton and the lackluster effort I saw from the Kings, who were in the playoffs, which was asinine that they had that kind of effort. But I'm going Edmonton in four. Tom, what do you got?
I'm going Edmonton in six. I think Edmonton's just got way too much speed and skill. And I just think they're just going to roll with McDavid and Draisaitl. And even Nugent Hopkins finally breaking through with the 100-point season this year. I just think they've got too much offense for the Kings. The Kings, they'll be playing catch-up the whole series. I think Edmonton takes it pretty easily.
Ed?
I'm going with the Oilers in four. I have not seen the Kings play at all this year, not one minute. I have seen Edmonton play quite a few times, and they're fast and they're skilled, and I think they're just going to roll them in four. That's my take on it.
And well, there we have our round matchups. As we're recording this, it'll be the day of the playoffs starting on Monday. So, yeah, we'll see next week when we tie everything together, how everything looks. We'll get a take on it or whatever. And we're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to make a quick mention of the Dusty Rhodes biography. Was absolutely fantastic. Not too much wrestling talk this week, but if you haven't seen it, I'm a huge Dusty Rhodes fan. Not a pink hat Dusty Rhodes fan since I was a kid. Huge fan. We're not talking about Polka Dot Dusty Rhodes. We're talking about Stardust. We're talking about, you know, Bunkhouse Dusty Rhodes. That was my guy. You know, when people liked Hulk Hogan as their favorite baby face as a kid, Dusty was always my guy. Tom didn't get a chance to watch it yet. Ed, what's your thoughts?
I thought it was great. You know, I mean, been a big Dusty fan for a long, long time. Back to when he was on TBS, you know, on the Superstation, you know. I remember watching Starcade, what was it, 83 at your house on videotape?
85. Fantastic. Fantastic. You know,
and so, like, you know, and just, you know, like, it was kind of nice to see a couple things about kind of Dusty's promo style. It kind of tied everything in to, like, okay, well, that's why he did it like that. And it made a lot of sense. And they just did a really good job on it.
Yeah. Just quick before we switch it to Tom, there's one of the talking heads on there. He's I forget which newspaper or website he's from. He does a fantastic job of breaking it down from another view of the whole what Dusty meant to people and how he, you know, kind of transcended things. And it's great. If you get a chance, one of the best biographies they've done, and we'll save more wrestling talk for, you know, another week, but it's great. And we're going to switch it to Tom with his, Tom, what do you got for our album pick of the week?
Album of the week. This week is probably my favorite band all time. Going with the Beastie Boys.
Oh.
Ill. Came out in 1987, I believe. And I've got the 30th anniversary album. So this, but my favorite tunes on this one, of course, Lex, She's Crafty, Fight for Your Right, No Sleep Till Brooklyn, Time to Get Ill, Ed's favorite thing, Brass Monkey, you know.
Ed, I can't even tell people the impact and the quotes and the time spent with that album. for you and me as kids, and oh into our going out in the even 90s. Ed, just take it. I got no words. This is all you.
Oh, man, this is like the album of my youth. And I mean, there is no other way to say it. I mean, from the time I heard that album, and I mean, you know, you put that in, and it was just like, these guys are freaking awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and the way that they sample the music from Van Halen and Led Zeppelin, I mean, like, you know, a lot of people don't know that. And you're like, no. Man, those guys were really, really smart to do something like that. You know,
went into your locker and smashed your glasses.
Yes, exactly. Like a boiling kettle, you know, a dime for a dime, damn good time, you know. Man, you know, I mean, it's just one of those albums that just, man, when you listen to the lyrics, they're just funny dudes, man.
Oh yeah.
And like the way that they talk, and it's just, man, it was just a great album. Like whenever I hear when I hear a song, it like, I mean, I automatically picks my mood up, man.
Oh yeah, you know? It's just it's just a fun album, start to finish. I mean, if you've never listened to it, then you got problems. I mean, that's all I can. I mean, it is a fun time if you're with your buddies and they got like-minded individuals with you, and you all grew up together. There's no way that you haven't at least heard. And you know what? Out of the songs that they play on the radio, "Fight for Your Right" and "No Sleep Till Brooklyn," the other ones that they do play, like the epic stuff. I mean, there's so many one-liners, so many like quotable lines that if you know, you know, and if you don't, you don't. I mean, it's great. It's a guy's record. It's fun. We're gonna leave it at that. We spent almost the whole time talking about playoff hockey.
And that's a good thing.
Absolutely. It's before we leave, any shout outs this week for anybody that we've got to mention during the podcast?
I want to give a shout out to an old friend. I think Eddie knows him, Joey Olivia, who's he's a listener, and he sent me quite a few comments this week on Facebook. So I want to thank him for listening and tell Joe what's up. I haven't seen him in a while. We've got to catch up.
Yeah. Joe's good people, man. Good people.
And before we shut this down and say goodbye, Tom and I had a chance to reach out to our buddy Harv. He's going through a hard time. I know he's going through some stuff, and we want to just tell him that, you know, good thoughts, positive vibes. We're thinking about him. We don't want you to think that we ever forgot. You know, speaking of Beastie Boys and listening to that album, Harv was in that loop with us. So, you know, positive thoughts, Harv. Put on License
to Ill.
Think of us this week, and you know, we'll be back next week with definitely we'll be back next week with more stuff. So special episode next week. Special guest, it's coming soon. We'll see you next week, and playoff hockey's upon us. So later, everyone.
Later.
See ya.